Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And He loves you. Paul hasn't pulled any punches. He's like, you guys need to get this thing together.
you know, you had the Jews, the people of Abraham's descent, then you had the Gentiles, and they were just having wars in the church.
Mm-hmm.
Sound familiar?
Yes, yeah. It does.
Just wars in the church. This is my group. This mm-hmm. my. This my. This my. These my people. This your
yeah,
people.
Yeah.
Come on now, it's all God.
That's amen. Right.
And so here Paul picks up, we're going to pick up in Ephesians 4, beginning at verse 7. And one of the things, Sheila G., that I think a lot of times in the church is people don't understand their role.
Right.
And because they don't understand their role, they don't understand their purpose, and they don't know their role or their purpose, then what happens is they begin to merge into other people's lanes.
Right. Right.
Have you ever been on the highway and somebody merged into your
happened
lane?
This yeah. morning. Happened this morning.
Right. And what happens is it causes a chain reaction.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
As you hit brakes, you move over, right. and you know, it just it creates chaos. And so what God has done is that he's given gifts to the body of Christ so that we can operate in a manner that's going to, number one, minister to those that are lost, but also to build up the body of Christ.
Amen.
To let us know we need each other.
Right.
And so the gifts are to bless each other so we can go out and evangelize the world for Jesus.
That's right.
But we don't use the gifts right. We think we're supposed to be this. We think we're supposed to be that. And we get mad with each other's gifts.
Oh, she thinks she can sing.
Yeah.
Oh, he thinks he can pray. Oh, he,
you know, we just hate a raid.
That's right.
But Paul, after he tells them to get your act together, sit a certain place, walk a certain place, he goes on to say, now this is how you do it.
Right.
So this is what we pick up in Ephesians 4, beginning at verse 7. It says, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So, Sheila, in other words, God is the one that gave us the gift.
That's Amen. Right.
So why are you going to hate on my gift?
Right, when it all came from the same place.
If God gave me the gift.
Mm-hmm. And God obviously gives you a gift as well. Give you mine.
You said every one of us, right?
Right. Everybody has a gift.
And it's because of his grace. In other words, we didn't deserve anything.
Right.
But God gave us this
More.
Gift, this, mm-hmm. this gift. And the gift is from God is that he's given you a supernatural ability
Amen.
To right. do something.
That's right. right.
Is you can't do it on your own.
You cannot do it on your
it's
own.
It's a supernatural ability to do something.
Amen.
You can fake the funk for a while, Dr. G.
Not forever.
But sooner or later, it's going to tell on you.
Amen.
You, there's a whole lot of folk that went out there and said, I'm going to be this, or I'm going to be that.
Mm-hmm.
And after a while, they're doing it in their natural.
Yeah.
Causes them to shut down and they can't do it anymore.
That's Amen. Right.
But if you've been given the supernatural calling and gifting, then come, you know, all the trials and tribulations you're able to endure because that's your true call.
That's right. That's mm-hmm. right. God, when he gives you that gift, it's not a struggle of trying to figure out what it
right.
is because it is supernatural. Now, sometimes you'll shock yourself
Amen.
And you'll be like, oh, my goodness, where did that come
right,
from?
Right, right.
But it comes from the Lord, and it just humbles you. It should humble you.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens is some people want the gift that somebody else has because that's what they want, not necessarily what God wants to use them for or wants for them.
And so when he says the measure of the gift of Christ, in other words, God knows exactly what to give you, knows exactly what to give me. In other words, he's the tailor, and our gifts are tailor-made.
That's right.
So he knows the measure. He knows the measure. He knows the length and the width and
mm-hmm.
the inseam and the collar. And mm-hmm. he knows all of that, so he knows what to give us so that we can operate in our gifting in a way that we don't mess up.
Amen. Right, right.
Because if he gave some people too big a britches,
they would
goodness.
Think it's them, and God wouldn't get the glory.
Because
the bottom line is whatever gifts he gives it, it gives it so that for his glory, not for our own glory.
Exactly, exactly. But too many times down through the years, churches haven't really tried to identify what their spiritual gift is.
Mm-hmm.
People go to church, but they don't know what's my purpose, what's my
right.
plan, what's my gift. I'm just going religiously, and I'm trying to figure it out. What am I supposed to do? But there's a supernatural gift that God will give you that you when you recognize, when you know what it is, then that's what you need to understand, that God has a purpose for that gift.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see later on in this study that he starts off with five gifts in here. People call it a fivefold ministry. It's like five gifts, but these are for building up the body, therefore edifying the body, therefore mm-hmm. strengthening the body. So your gift is supposed to strengthen me.
Amen.
And my gift is supposed to strengthen you.
Amen.
So, Dr. G, if my gift is supposed to strengthen you, can I hold back and not give it to you?
Mm-mm. It don't work like that.
Can I say, well, I ain't coming to church because I don't feel like it.
Mm-mm.
I don't have that option because
no.
God has given me a gift
mm-hmm.
so that I can strengthen you.
Right. And the thing is, what people fail to realize is that everybody's gift, you've already said it, is to edify the body of Christ. It's like, you know, that old stew where you take a little bit
yes.
of this, a little bit of that, and then over here you put some of that mm-hmm. in, and you stir it all mm-hmm. together to make that stew. And it's the same way with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what we do for the body in the church or wherever, you know, we bring these different gifts, and we utilize them. Everybody do their little part.
Right.
And it's to draw folk to Christ, mm-hmm. not to compete.
Uh-oh.
Not to outdo one another,
well.
Not to do my thing,
well.
But it's all about Christ. It's to glorify him.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, you know, we thank him for the gift.
Amen.
And I think as Sheila G said, you know, it ought to humble us enough
right.
to help keep our minds in the right frame.
Correct.
And Sheila, Sheila G, it's like, When you get to a point where you realize it's not me, but it's the God
mm-hmm.
in me,
right.
and realize how important it is, so you're saying, well, God has trusted me with this gift.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So how dare I?
Hello.
Oh, you're going to get mad.
Come on, man.
That's all right. How dare I have the audacity
mm-hmm.
to not bring my gift to
sit on it.
The box.
Amen.
Right, and that again goes back to us making it about us and about glorifying self and not glorifying God. If your mindset is I want to
mm-hmm.
glorify God,
mm-hmm.
I want to help to draw others to Christ, it's not about you.
Right.
So you can't, you have that hunger. You can't sit
yeah.
down on it. You can't say no because you know this is what God wants you to do. It's compelling.
Right.
It's like that song from many, many years ago, I'm available to you.
Yeah.
Use me, Lord. I give you my hands, my feet, my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the mindset we should have. Use me, Lord. It's not about me, but people sit on it because
mm-hmm.
it's about how they feel.
Exactly. And this is
mm-hmm.
what the enemy will try to do. The enemy will try to get you in your feelings to the point where your focus is no longer on the body of Christ.
Right.
But your focus is on you.
That's right.
And how you feel, well, I'm not getting this, or they're not giving me
mm-hmm.
this, or I can't see this, or I can't see that. But they need to take their eye out and say, well, God, this is what you've given me, so this is what I'm going to bring.
Right.
And I'm going to bring it not to please men. I'm not going to be a men pleaser
right.
or a people pleaser.
Right.
But I'm going to come to please God.
That's yeah. right.
So when I come to the body of Christ, the local body, local
mm-hmm.
congregation, I'm coming to please God.
That's
I'm
right.
coming to give God the glory. I'm coming to give him the service that he's blessed me with.
That's right. And, you know, I had told somebody once before because they were complaining because they were doing what God wanted them to do, but they felt like they were doing it by themselves and they
mm-hmm.
weren't getting all the support that they
right.
needed to get it done. And I. And,
right.
and the thing that I said to them is do not grow weary.
And well doing.
And well doing.
That's mm-hmm. right.
Because if you're doing it unto the Lord, it doesn't matter if you feel like you're not getting the support or if you feel like you're out there. It doesn't matter. Do not grow weary.
And well doing.
And well doing. So if you're using it and you're doing what God tells you to do,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't matter how you feel. It's
mm-hmm.
like, okay, Lord, you got me. And that's all that matters.
And so, Dr. G, in that verse 7, it says grace.
Hmm.
God will give you the grace to be able to operate. Will God give you the grace to be able to operate in that gift in all seasons?
Yes, he will. Yes, he will. And it's only through his grace that we can operate.
Right.
In that season. And the whole thing is, you know, with that, we've got to stay in our lane, utilize this for what it's in. But, you know, it's sad because you look at what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these gifts are already corrupted. The enemy has already corrupted the minds of a lot of folk, men and women,
mm-hmm.
as to how to utilize that gift. And if we don't wake up, I mean, we're destroying
mm-hmm.
the body of Christ with all of this, you know, mind.
Right.
Where we're not focused on what the Lord wants. It's
right.
not about me. You know, I grew up in church believing that, okay, my motto was, well, if I can help somebody,
right.
then my living is not
in vain.
Right.
And whatever I can do, that's my mindset.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter what I do.
Exactly. And it's to glorify God and to build up the body and, you know, in carrying out, you know, what Jesus said, well, the greatest two commandments was
mm-hmm.
to love God and love your neighbor. That's what our focus should be, is I'm
right.
going to serve God's people and glorify God by serving his people. So Paul takes it a little aside if we go down to verses 8 and 9, because there's some folk, even when he's telling them about Christ being the one that gave the gift, there are some folk in the congregation that still don't believe that Jesus is all sufficient and that Jesus is the Christ of God and that Jesus has the power, that Jesus was resurrected with all power in his hand, and that he gave gifts unto men, mm-hmm. and that it was his authority to give gifts. And so Paul has to take a side and explain how he went about gaining this authority to give gifts. So in verses 8 and 9, he says, wherefore, he said, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. So this was the cultures knew as when a soldier went into battle, and once they went into battle and they captured their enemy, and then after they captured their enemy, they would bring back the spoils, and then after they would bring back the spoils, they would distribute it to the victorious camp. And so he was using this illustration of saying when Jesus ascended from the dead, that was his victory lap, if you will, from conquering sin.
Mm-hmm.
And so now that he's taken his victory lap, if you will, with the spoils of it, now he has the ability to give gifts unto men or unto the body of Christ. And so in verse 9, he also goes on to say, now that he ascended, what it is, but he that also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. Now, many people interpret this as him going to Hades, but more likely what he's talking about is he came to where sin, where man began sin with Adam and Eve. So he ascended to earth to deal with the sin that happened on earth.
Right.
And so after he dealt with the sin that happened on earth, then during his death, burial, and resurrection, then he ascended. And so the whole premise by this is Paul is explaining to them, this is how he got the power to be able to give gifts unto men. Because, you know, there was some hard-headed, I didn't say that word, there was some hard-headed folk back then, Dr. G, like there's some hard-headed folk right
now.
They said, who gave Jesus the right?
Come on.
This carpenter's guy. I know he was raised in everything. I know he died for this thing. But who gave him the right to give you that gift?
And they were just illustrating his power.
Exactly.
Or reminding them, because it was there, but people just don't believe it. And
mm-hmm.
so he's just like, okay, let me break it down to you.
Yeah.
Let me put it in things that you understand, like
right.
the captivity concept.
Right. Right.
It's like an analogy. Let me put it in a way where you can understand
right.
what he did to have the power to be able to give you
exactly.
the gift and why you should reverence that.
Exactly. And you know, sometimes people say, you're not the boss of me. Like, you know, you're not the boss of me. It's like how you gonna give me this gift?
Mm.
I don't want this gift.
Uh-huh.
How dare us say we don't want this gift? Or how dare we take your gift?
Come on.
Right.
Why can't I do it? Why can't I do it? I'm just as good as him or her. Why can't I do it?
Amen.
I don't believe he gave you that gift.
All right.
My gift is better, but he gave you a measure. And everybody's waist size is not the same.
Hello.
Amen.
And you're actually stepping on my toes.
step on. Step mm. on.
Because I do have this gift and
Amen.
I don't like it.
Uh-huh.
Get over it.
Come on.
The Lord has a tendency to wake me up in the middle of the night, or he'll just reveal things to me.
Yeah.
And they're not always things that I am happy with.
That's the world we live in.
But I always find out afterwards, because after what I've seen or what the vision that he's given me,
right.
and it comes to fruition,
mm-hmm.
then I understand it by and by. But one, he wakes me up probably because I'm so busy all the time, and because I don't embrace this gift.
Right.
So he'll wake me up in the middle of the night when it's absolutely quiet, and literally
right.
I'm sound
well,
asleep.
Talk to you, yeah.
And all of a sudden, bam, I'm awake.
Yeah. He does the same thing to me. And, don't feel bad. Don't feel bad.
But
I usually get to wake up about 2:30 every morning.
Like, really?
But don't worry about it. It's the same thing.
But he's telling me things, and then weeks down the road, what he's revealed to me happens, and then later I understand it. So I don't necessarily embrace it, but I do acknowledge that it's from God.
Right. And so, that's the human
right.
response. Hey,
can't you give this to somebody else?
Yeah. And so that's why Paul is explaining this to him, that he gave, he knows the measure to give you. He's not going to overwhelm you in it. He's not going to make it too big or too small. But he knows how to give it to you just the way you were designed.
Right.
So we're purposed by design. He gives us design. He knows our measurement. He knows what we need, and he knows how to give it to us supernaturally.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is why he explained to him about the ascending and the descending, and that because he was able to conquer death and the grave, that now he has all power, and now he has the ability to give gifts unto men, or give gifts to the body of Christ, so that the body can function as Christ functioned during his earthly ministry. So there was one of his body, but now there's many members in his body, and so now all of us together collectively, we're supposed to function as the body of Christ to further the ministry until Christ returns. And so when you look down at verse 10, he says, he that descended is the same also that ascended up above all heavens, that he might fulfill all things. And so this is the purpose, was the death, the burial, the resurrection. This was the purpose of God from the beginning, to defeat the death, the power of death, and the penalty of sin. And that he completed that, and it was fulfilled with his resurrection, God being pleased with his sacrifice, raised him from the dead. He's the first fruit from the dead, and then we also who believe in him are in him will be raised also at the coming of Christ. And so when you begin to start understanding that, Paul begins to take away all of the, well, who is he, and how does he have the right to give it, and why does he have this, and why can't I? He goes on to explain it, that he's the one that came down, died for the mess that y'all did. God was pleased with it. He got the victory over death and the grave. Now he's ascending on high with all power in his hand, and it's his privilege now to give gifts to whoever he wants to form the body of Christ that's going to be the visible Christ on earth. Dr. G.
I'm just sitting here thinking, can you imagine what our world would be if people were really using their gifts in the way that the Lord.
Mm.
And what a change we could bring about in mankind.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just like our brain. We have this great big brain that has all this stuff in it, but we only use 10% of it.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine how powerful we'd be if we could use our whole brain?
Yeah.
And it's the same thing. You know, we have these gifts. God gives it to us, but we have the free will to use it or not.
Right. Absolutely. And I think we get caught up with schism. And you know, Paul talked about that in, I believe it's Corinthians, the 12th chapter. He talks about that. Let's look at that. 1 Corinthians 12. Let's look at that. See what he's talking about as far as, you know, we saying that I need you, you don't need me. Do it by myself. He if you look at 1 Corinthians 12, beginning at verse 12, it says, "For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ." And it says in verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 12, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles." Here again, talking about that friction in the church. Well, I'm a Jew, well, I'm a Gentile. You know, I'm this, well, I'm a Baptist, well, I'm a this, I'm a that. He says, "Whether we be bond or free and have been made to drink into one Spirit, for the body is not one member, but many." And so he's telling us that, you know, we need to get over this thing of trying to be individual, but we need to get into the situation of being one in the body, focusing on being the Christians that God has called us. Let's go back to Ephesians in that fourth chapter and verse 11. And so here he starts with the foundational of the gift. And the foundational of the gifts was the apostle. The apostle was one that had direct revelation from God. Many of the apostles, the 12, they spent time with Jesus, and they were given direct revelation to God how to start something from nothing.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they got the revelation. In other words, they got a revelation from God. They spent time with Jesus. They saw Jesus demonstrated, and then Jesus gave them that ability to look and to start something from nothing. And so when you see someone that has the ability to go into a place where there's nothing, take the revelation from God and start it, that's someone that has the gift of apostleship. When there's nothing there, you go in, there's a void. God wants to fill that void, and then he places an apostle there to put the things in place to be able to start something from nothing. And that's where it all started from. That's how the church started. Those 12 walked with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said, "Oh, I'm getting ready to go back. I'm going to leave y'all here.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all need to take care of this business.
Right.
I demonstrated it to you. This is what you need to do.
All right.
I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit, give you the anointing.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have the authority, you have the purpose and the plan to do it." Foundation on the apostles. This is where we want the church to start. But too many times, people don't want to obey what the doctrine that was given down from Jesus through the apostles. People, Sheila D., have a problem with people in general.
This is true. This is true.
We got a problem with each other.
Right. And we especially have a problem with anyone that has any type of authority.
Oh,
we always
say that?
Want to say, "You're not the boss of me.
You ain't the boss of me."
As if it's a weakness to follow authority. And it's not necessarily weakness, because none of us knows everything.
Say that again. Come on.
I said it is not weakness to follow or listen to some authority, because none of us knows everything.
I thought everybody graduated from that university.
Yeah,
I know
I'm
everything.
Still figuring stuff out.
The university of I know everything. Graduated. What's the highest? Summa cum laude.
Yeah, summa cum laude.
Summa cum laude. No. University of I know everything.
Nah.
Top of the class. Valedictorian.
No, I'm from thank you, Lordy.
This is the Lordy, Lordy, thank you. But people have a problem with people. Dr. G, why do people have a problem? Women especially have a problem with women, and men have a problem
with
men.
That's true.
And then men have a problem with women. People
Amen.
Have problems.
Amen.
You ever seen two women get upset and mad at each other? It's like a cat fight.
Oh, my earrings. Where's the Vaseline?
But women get it, and then men don't. He ain't talking to me. He put his pants on the same way I put my pants on. He called himself the pastor.
Come on.
What do you mean? He's my man just like I'm a man. He gonna sit there and tell me something.
Like, wait a minute.
There is order in God's word.
Amen. Yes,
we should do things decently in order.
That's why there is order.
And that's why he gave the apostles first to get the information, to get the doctrine,
right,
to be able to tell people this is the way God has set it up, so this is the way we need to follow it.
Right.
But people have a problem. it's like they would do it if it came from the right person.
Hello.
But the problem is there's no right person for
that's
some of
right.
the people.
Nope.
Right.
You ever been that way with your husband or wife? I'm going to meddle a little bit now.
Come on.
And it's like, if you tell your wife something.
Amen.
She's like, yeah, whatever.
I heard that before.
But let somebody else come in and tell her the exact same thing.
Well,
they're best friends.
And it's like, uh-huh. and it's like a revelation.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that is right.
Yeah, my husband got sick. He started telling my best friend, so she would tell me, so he could get me to do what he wanted me to do.
Amen.
But people have a problem with people. Exactly. And so this is the whole challenge of the church from the first century to now,
mm-hmm.
is that people have a problem with authority, with people that God has placed in the body
right.
to do certain things. People just have a problem with it.
Right.
It's a supernatural thing to have the gift, but people have a natural tendency to resist the authority
mm-hmm.
of the gift.
And that's why God didn't give all the gifts to one person.
Amen.
That's why he spread it, because can you imagine if someone did have all of them? They'd be so arrogant
yeah.
that they couldn't help
puffed
anybody.
Up.
So that's why he gives everybody a separate measure, so that when we walk together, that's when you get the power.
Right.
When you work together, that's when you get the power. So you have your gift, and someone else has it, and they work together.
Right.
But if there's just one gift here, and you're not using yours,
right.
then the unity, the unified body, loses power.
Right. And so when people look at their giftings, what people get misunderstanding, what it is was when the apostles came, the visible church was not there.
Mm-hmm.
When Christ left, when he ascended, the visible church wasn't there. And so he had to instruct his disciples, his apostles, to be able to start something from nothing, to be able to present the visible church, to be able to evangelize the world, to be able to cause people to be able to hear the good news of the gospel so that they can make a decision for Christ. And so that's still the Great Commission.
Mm-hmm.
When he said it in Matthew 18, Great Commission.
The fifth chapter?
No, Matthew, 28 verses 19 and 20.
Yeah,
go ye therefore.
All the nations.
Right, right. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son,
and
the
Holy
Ghost, teaching them to observe all things, whatever I commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. So that was the Great Commission, but he needed people in the body to be able to carry that out.
Right.
So that's why he gave the gift to set up the organization to be able to carry that gospel message out.
Right.
But what happens is we have gotten to the point where we just won't be entertained on Sunday. We'll do nothing else during the week. Lord have mercy. We just want to come in on Sunday and have a good time. We want the preacher to preach. We
sure.
want the musician to... He said, sure.
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 Mm-hmm. We want the musician to make us happy. We want to see Sister Susie jump over the chair. We want to see Brother, what's her name, moonwalk down the aisle and go home and say we had a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Call each other up on the telephone, gossip about what she was wearing, what he was wearing, what he did, what she did. We can't come back to the entertainment place. We can't wait to get back to the entertainment place on next Sunday because we had a show.
Right.
And a good time.
Right.
In quote, unquote, in Jesus'
name. And then it's like even during the week you don't pray, you don't read the scripture, you know. And so what happens is you just stay in that spot and you're not growing.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you see everybody else growing, that's when the hate starts to come.
Ah,
because well, they must think they're all, you know, they can walk around and things that don't bother them. So I know their life has to be messed up. They're just not telling you.
And that's as the church turns.
Because misery loves company.
These are the days
instead
of our
of
church.
Instead of saying, you know what, I know you're going through, but you still come in with a smile on your face. How is that? How
yeah.
can I get
how
to that
How can I learn
place?
From that?
It's more of like, what are you hiding?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And go ahead, Doctor.
Well, you know, too, we as people, we want to do what we want to do.
Mm.
Forget about what the Lord wants. We'll take the gifts and do what we want if we want to do it. If we don't feel like it, we're not going to do it this week.
Yeah, if you're not
so,
singing,
you know,
if you ain't singing my song, listen, I'm not coming.
So,
you're not
I mean,
singing
it's
my
all
song.
About what we want to do. Forget about what Christ wants.
I went to a church where, like, the choir sang on the fourth Sunday.
That's the only thing.
Only time certain members would come on the fourth
my
Sunday.
That's my Sunday to sing.
Amen.
That's my Sunday to sing.
They
and
would go to
and get mad if somebody else sang that song.
Amen.
Well, you know I lead that song.
Now, they would go to rehearsal because you couldn't sing unless you went to rehearsal. So they would go to rehearsal, but they wouldn't go. They would come on the Sunday that they sang, and that was it.
That's like I said, we want to be entertained. We don't want to carry out the Great Commission. We want to be entertained.
Right.
And church has become entertainment.
It does.
It's a big entertainment. It's like a big Vegas show. It's a show. And people say, I didn't come from any fashion form of show. Yes, you did.
Mm-hmm.
You came to show, out show. And so, like you said, Dr. G. Sheila G., the cause of Christ, the Great Commission that he set for us to carry out, it's off into the bushes somewhere.
Right.
It's like, who can have the best choir? Who can
mm-hmm.
have this best group?
Right.
Who can have this? Who can do this? Who can preach? Who can do this? Who can pray? Who can do all of this? Oh, man, they really did it. They really did it. Instead of, okay, now that we entertained each other, okay,
what am I going to do with that?
Now what I'm going to do with
that? Mm-hmm. But, you know, too, and if you listen to some of the commercials
mm-hmm.
come on the radio and
mm-hmm.
television advertising, about these services,
mm-hmm.
it's a show.
It's just a show. And so when you look back to the foundation of what Christ is, all right, I'm going to give you these gifts. I want you to help each other out. I want you to build a body so you can be the visible Christ to the world so that they can see the errors of their way and come to know Jesus in the free pardoning of their sin.
Mm-hmm.
And so there has to be authority. There has to be something decent in order. But people don't want to follow order.
Mm-hmm.
People don't want to follow people that have the gifts. And so the apostles came first, and then there was prophets and evangelists. These are the folks that spoke the word of God. Now, people, you got all kind of prophets, man. You got prophets, everybody that... You got so many people that have given themselves the title of prophet.
Come on.
Oh, my God.
Apostles.
You got apostles. You got prophets. Oh, my goodness. Prophetess.
It's all about the title.
And,
yep.
and you know, they pimping the church.
Yes, they are.
They pimping the church for money. Cause they might as well be like Miss Cleo. Y'all remember Miss Cleo? Call me now. They call me now for the church. Miss Cleo of the First Baptist Church. Miss Cleo.
Did he really?
But answer why she didn't know she was going down. Call me now.
See, $7
pimping
a minute.
Pimping it. Yeah. It's like, but that's where you have these prophets pimping the church. But the Bible says the true prophet is known that what they say comes true.
Amen.
Right.
That's how you know. And so, you know, everybody calling themselves an apostle, everybody calling themselves a prophet.
They're using that out of context.
But it's the prophet is supposed to tell you what God said, and not based upon what their revelation is, but what the revelation of the word says.
Amen.
The word is already written.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just telling you what the word says, and the word says this. If you do this, this is going to happen. If you don't do this, this is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's the extent of what the prophets are. Oh, that's why they killed all of them.
Amen.
Yeah.
Because they said if you act like a butt, you're going to get killed.
Amen.
If you act like you got some sense, then things going to work out with you. It's the same thing today.
Right?
Right?
Yeah.
If you run out in front of a bus,
yeah,
you're gonna get hit.
Right.
If you look both ways and wait for the bus to come by, you'll make
right.
it safely across the street.
All right.
Same thing. They didn't like the prophets telling them, Dr. G, if you act like a butt, you're going down.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
They didn't like that. So what did they do to the prophets?
Killed them.
Killed every one of them. Killed them.
Amen.
Killed them.
All right, Sister Sheila.
They killed them.
They want that gift.
They just don't want to hear that. Nah, they telling us that God doesn't like the way we doing. Mm-mm, we having too much of a good time. Take him or her out. Y'all got to go. Killed everyone.
And I realized by doing that, they made a martyr. So they just made it enforce what they were doing.
Right, and what they said came true.
Right.
And then they got wiped out.
Exactly.
So it's amazing. Same thing still going on. But the prophet's here to tell you what the word says. The evangelist is here to tell you the good news of Jesus. You got evangelists saying they passed. Oh, did I say that?
Yes, you did.
Come on.
Be nice.
Right.
Come on. Be nice. Got prophets saying that they're apostles.
Mm-hmm.
All messed up. Messed up because they're not staying in their lane, understanding what their purpose and what they're called. Simply put, where Jesus, that is so simple, it's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And in this, you can see how God is setting up. Okay, first we need to set up, the apostles set up. Okay, this is the organization.
Mm-hmm.
He went to a place on a missionary journey. He set up the local church. Right? That's
right.
What Paul did, right?
Mm-hmm.
The apostle Paul went on a missionary journey. There's a void here. We needed a church here. What? Planted a church.
Awesome.
Right? And now the prophets go out in the area, tell people this is what God said. The evangelists go out and tell them what? This is the good news.
Mm-hmm.
Now the people start coming to the place where what? The apostles are set up. And so now the apostle said, now we need somebody to be able to shepherd them.
Mm-hmm.
Now that the prophet and the evangelist have went out,
mm-hmm.
now they need to be able to say, okay, you've repented, you've accepted Christ, now you need a shepherd
mm-hmm.
or a pastor.
Right.
And so now they point them back to the local church who have been set up to have a pastor. So now you've got in verse 11, you got the apostles, you got the prophets, you got the evangelists, and now you have the pastor-teacher.
And the teacher. Mm-hmm.
And so the pastor is shepherding you. The pastor is helping you grow up in Christ.
Right.
Amen.
Pastor is like a big baby sitter.
Yeah.
Like a big baby sitter.
That's right.
That will guide you from your infancy.
Right.
Till you get a little bit of, where you can milk, he give you a little bit of milk. You get a little colicky, come by you, pastor, like this.
Uh-huh.
Help you get potty trained. Pastor, why is there so many people in church not potty trained? Dr. G, Lord have mercy, you still dealing with that mess. I'm going to leave that alone. but that's what pastors do. We're potty training.
Amen.
Anybody ever potty trained a child?
Amen.
Especially boys.
And you tell them something and tell them this is where you need to go, this is how you do it, and they come bring you the pamper and the wipe, talking about clean me, with full teeth in their mouth.
Mm.
But pastors are pastors. Pastors are supposed to be able to have the gift to be able to potty train, to be able to feed, to be able to deal with teething, to be able to deal with the earaches, to be able to deal with the terrible twos, to be able to deal with the threes,
the terrible teens,
deal with the preteens, to be able to deal with all this. This is what the pastor is supposed to do.
Amen.
If you get called to be a pastor, that's your job.
Amen.
You are the ordained babysitter. You got to meddle in when they think they sneaky.
Hello.
You got to meddle in when they think they're going to go out and do and come back and you don't know.
Come on.
All of that is the past. And then there's the teaching. So now the teaching is so important, but we want to kick teaching out and
That's
do
right.
more entertaining.
Amen.
Yeah, because we don't want to learn. Because the teaching is what can cut sometimes. It's like, but then, because if you learn, then you have to say, I know better.
Mm-hmm.
But if you play ignorant, you can say, well, I know.
Nobody told me.
But when you learn, and when you learn about Christ, when you study this word, and you really visually see what it is that he wants you to do in your life, when you don't do it,
right.
It's like, ooh.
Right. And so you can see, okay, the apostle went there, and there was nothing there. There was a void there. I planted it. And so he established the organization. Then the prophets and evangelists, they preach in the area. The people repented. Now they're going to the local church. Now you have the pastor there. The pastor's there to guide them and to tell them, you need to learn. You need to grow. You need to get off the milk. Get on the meat. How do you do that? You start going to a place where the teacher is.
Mm-hmm.
And the teacher, most of the time in modern-day church, is Sunday school.
Right. Bible study.
And Bible study. Mm-hmm. Is that right, Dr.
Amen. Amen.
And so that whole organization is saying, okay, this is how we get built up. This is how we get strong, because you have a relationship with the apostle, with the evangelist, with the prophet, with the pastor, with the teacher. This is foundational to the church growth, but we have to be willing to accept those gifts from these people to be able to understand this is what I need to grow to be able to develop as a Christian myself and develop my gifts so I can start helping and edifying and building up the body.
Great Commission.
The Great Commission.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing. Real simple, real basic, but we don't like each other. We can't get along with each other. I don't like the way she teaches. I don't like the way he talks to people. I don't like that. It's too boring. Ain't no structure. I'm not this. This can't happen. I'm not this. It's this, that, and the other. But you're realizing that if God said this is the gift that I'm given of teachers, then we don't have the option. We need to go to the teacher.
Right. Amen. To learn.
To learn so that we can learn to contribute our gift.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But if we don't go to the teacher, we can't learn.
We can't do the Great Commission because we don't know.
Exactly. You got to get trained by what the Word of God says. How are you going to go in the secular world and be a bus driver, I'm going to use it again, and you don't have a CDL? They're not going to let you out on the road without a CDL if you're a truck or a bus driver.
No.
You got to go to school. You got to get trained
to be
able to know how to operate that vehicle,
type of vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And the responsibilities that come with that vehicle.
That's right.
Same thing with your gift. You got so many people operating in their gifts without love.
Amen.
Right.
You got to understand that you need to be able to minister to me. You got to teach to me.
Amen.
Even in my immature state.
Right.
With love.
Right. Which means that you got to, as one of these, you got to move your emotions aside.
Exactly.
And then just pray. What were you talking about? Power of prayer.
Yeah. How about that?
And learn the power of prayer, because you have to take yourself out of it, not respond emotionally, and just pray and let the Lord, because the Lord is going to work it out, because God wants you to be able to use your gift.
Exactly.
So any obstacles that are in the way, God is going to work it out for
exactly.
you. So you don't have to browbeat. You don't have to act as you don't have to be pushy. You just love anyway,
exactly.
and then let the Lord take care of the rest.
And because love never fails, and Dr. G, what happens is, so now the pastor is telling you, you need to get into the Word. You need to come to Bible study.
Mm-hmm.
You need to come to Sunday school, because this is how you're going to grow. And I know, Dr. G, I know you make that announcement every Sunday, that just 1 hour on Thursday or come on Sunday,
mm-hmm.
that you will learn this so you can grow. And it's not like a thing of, you're just saying it just to see people,
right.
but you're
right.
saying it so okay. people can grow.
Amen.
And so when you look at verse 12, it clearly tells us
why
we need to do this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he didn't make it very difficult. In verse 12, he says, for what? The perfecting of what?
The saints. For the work of the ministry.
For the work of the what?
For the edifying
of
the
body
of
Christ. Real simple. But why, Dr. G, do we resist that so much? Why? Because it takes work. It takes commitment.
Amen.
It takes some effort. It's not just being entertained. I just want to come to church, sit down on my behind, and be entertained.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I mean, you're right. I mean, it takes a little bit of you to be put into it to make what God wants to come out. It's the same thing when you're in the kitchen cooking. How you going to cook if everything you take is just out the microwave and throw it in the out the freezer and throw it in the microwave? You know, God wants you to spend some time doing it, and he wants it done right. So you've got to spend time with them.
Yeah.
Okay, what's wrong with the microwave?
There's nothing wrong with it, but come on now. Not all the time. Amen.
Amen. You're right, though. It doesn't taste the same as if you season it and let it simmer.
Amen.
Hello.
The girlfriend, if I was feeding you microwave every day.
Oh, we'd have issues.
So that's gonna be the question that we're gonna go to the phone line. Why do people resist the training? Why do people resist them and go to the phone line? Let's try with 2122. You are on the air.
Well, happy Thursday. And I
happy
just want
Thursday.
To say that,
Thursday.
I just want to say that, it deals with humbleness. and a servant's attitude. And since a servant sounds so degrading, or we have made it seem like a degrading position, is that, and people are resistant to that. Because to be a servant is to be a great leader.
That's
and
right.
Christ
That's
had
right.
a good example. And Christ had a good example by serving. So it deals with the S word, serving. If we can serve one another, then we won't be so intimidated by authority figures.
Amen.
And that's all I think about that.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you for your comments. All right, we're going to go to 7971. You are on the air.
What was the question, Pastor?
The question was, why are people so... Good evening.
Good evening.
The question was, why are people so resistant to learning or training, teaching? Christian.
Well, most people have an ego, and they think they know it all. They come to church every Sunday. They know the Bible inside out. They have their own interpretation, and they don't feel as... they don't feel the necessity to come to Bible study, Sunday school, or anything because, you know, I've heard that before.
I know it all.
Yeah. And they know it all, and it's a sad day when you have really completely taken yourself out of the loop and the circle of worshiping and trying to help somebody else. If you know it all, then why aren't you doing something to help somebody else? But that is one of the biggest things that I have found. People really and truly believe that they know it. I've heard that before. It's just a waste of my time. And that is so sad.
It is.
So sad.
All right. Well, thank you for your comment. All right. Let's go to 1741, you're on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I think simply because, first of all, people have to surrender. A lot of times people don't want to surrender. They don't want to submit. And then they don't want to be committed. And you have to surrender to authority. And just get rid of yourself and surrender to God in order to learn more about God. And sometimes people just, you know, they have this power thing, you know, I want to be in control. And once I start submitting and surrendering my way unto God and to man, then somehow they feel like they are losing some of their control and power.
All right. Well, thank you for your comment tonight. All right, we're going to go to 0692. You are on the air. Just listening? All right, we're going to go to 7878. You are on the air.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Why
do you think people are resistant to training and learning?
I have to agree with some of the other callers. It's lack of knowledge. We get in the mindset that we know everything, and also, you know, some people may feel, you know, I've been there, I've done that, I've been in church for 30 years, and this is how we did it, and people are just set in their ways. You know, it's all about a mindset. Some people are open to change, and there's some people just not open to change. So it's all about a person's mindset. And yes, we all serve the same God, but their way of serving may be totally different from your way of serving, and just have to come together, decide that we're going to do this thing together. It's all about, you know, we can't be in the church without others in the church, because the body is supposed to fellowship and worship together. So we have to work at this together. You know, God put us to work together and also to be servants, to go outside. But while we're on the inside of the church, we need to be able to work together and use our gifts to glorify him, not ourselves.
Well, thank you for your comment tonight. All right, we're going to go to 6326. 6326, you are on the air. 6326, in the name. All right, we're going to go to 9363. 9363, you're on
the air. Hello, good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
So the question is why are people, why do you think people are resistant to learning or training or teaching?
I believe that people are very, very fearful. I believe they just fearful of change. I agree with the last caller. And they just unwilling to die to themselves. That's how I feel. Mm. They just want to keep doing the same thing and keep going through the same thing and unwilling to believe what God is and what he has for us because of whatever they have done.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you for your comment tonight. All right, we're going to go to our studio audience and get some of their responses this evening. I know you're tired of repeating it, but one more time. I know it's like a two-part question. But why do you think people are so resistant to teaching or training from others in the body of Christ? In other words, God has given gifts to the body, teachers, evangelists, prophets, evangelists. Why do you think people are resistant to receiving that?
Well, I definitely agree with all the comments that were made about, you know, change and, you know, egos and things. But I think one other thing is, too, is that, you know, you also have to understand what the purpose of training and teaching and learning is, and it's to prepare you to get to a certain place.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of people don't want to go through the road and go through the, you know, sacrifice and go through the bumps and the ups and the downs of getting to where you need to be. Because, you know, I learned a long time ago that, you know, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step.
First step.
But some people are scared to take that step because all you can see is, oh, well, I got to go through this.
1,000 miles.
But you're not looking at basically what the end result is going to be and how it's made you better. So I think a lot of times people just want things now. It's like, oh, I want to be here now. But it's like, no, you have to work hard and you have to know what actually needs to take place and what you need to go through to actually make sure you're a better person when you come out on the other side. So I definitely think that people are just kind of scared to go through that journey because it's not an overnight process.
No.
And like you said, you've been in the church your whole life and you're still learning and still kind of going through things. So some people say, well, look, I may go through this journey. I may not come out on the other side no time soon, but that's just something that, you know, you have to be able to, you know, understand that everybody goes through this journey, not alone, but it takes your own time to get there.
Right.
And realize that you're not going through it alone either. You can lean on people and depend on people to help you through your journey when you're at your weakest point.
Absolutely. Thank you for your comment. All right. We got another person.
I feel that people are complacent. Mm-hmm. I feel that people are okay with where they are.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that they don't want to give up the worldly things.
Right.
They know that when they start learning that they have to give up the whole God knows my heart, right? Because then God does know your heart and God knows what you know.
Exactly.
You know right from wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I also believe that when people learn and they get to a point where they're able to forget that now they became servants and now they are really the title, it's you're teaching other people, but you're serving them. You have to, like the pastor is really the servant to the church because he is working at all times. And I think that people just don't want to take the responsibility. They don't want to be held accountable. They don't want to work. They feel like it's easier to just show up.
Oh my goodness.
Land of the radar and like not be held accountable for anything.
Wow.
And I think that it's just that way for many.
A lot of people want easy church.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that people think about things before they do it, and a lot of times hesitate. And so when you hesitate, you kind of think about stuff more and more, and then next thing you know, it's like an hour went by, and you still haven't moved.
Procrastination.
And so, you know, we procrastinate, and we're like, oh, all right, okay, I'll just do it next weekend. And then next weekend coming, and you're like, oh, shoot, I forgot.
I'll get it next week. And the week after that.
Yeah. All right, well.
What we're seeing, Sheila G, is that we really need to talk a little bit more about these gifts.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to pick up next week on the gifts. But it's important, I believe, that the body of Christ understands that whole, how Christ laid it out. And so when you understand how he laid it out, then we can begin to apply it to us individually and collectively. And then the church can start experiencing that perfecting, start experiencing that edifying,
mm-hmm.
start experiencing that oneness. And when that begins, cohesiveness, it creates a power, such a powerful anointing that the work of Christ begins to start getting done in a way where people start recognizing it, and other people will begin to start being drawn to Christ. So we as a church, we need to get this spiritual gift thing together.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, well, that's going to do it for us tonight. We're going to close out with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we thank you again, God, for allowing us to experience your Holy Spirit, God, that has taught us tonight, God. And we just pray, God, that you would continue to allow this word to find a lodging place in all of our spirits, God, that we might hear from you, God, and be able to not only hear, but be able to be illuminated and be able to be gifted to be able to carry out what your great commission, your great command is, that we would tell a dying world about the good news of Jesus, and that you are truly an all-sufficient Savior, and that everything that we need is in you and through you, and that by your stripes we are healed, and that we can do all things through you that gives us the strength. God, we just pray for our churches collectively, and we just pray, God, that you would continue to give us the ability to continue to study and continue to reach out to those that don't know you in the free pardoning of their sin, that they can come to know you, God, and that you will receive the honor, the glory, and the praise. Bless those that were on the air, mm-hmm. those that were here in person. Bless those that are journeying this evening. We pray that you would grant us all traveling mercy. And, oh, God, until we meet again, mm-hmm. we pray that you would receive mm-hmm. all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. And we ask this and all other blessings mm-hmm. in the precious and almighty name of Jesus, who is the Christ. And our spiritual soul says amen.
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 Amen. And amen.
Amen.
Good night, everyone. Prayerfully, we'll hear you and see you again on Thursday night. Good night.